Proverbs chapter 3. So we pull up our PowerPoint. I just want to invite you. Advent is right around the corner. And very intentionally, these 4 weeks in December, we want to create an environment where you would feel more than comfortable in inviting a person that does not have a church home. And so we in particular have chosen a theme to make it, I think Christmas is a unique time, because I know Mrs. Carr tries to make everything perfect about Christmas. The perfect Christmas dinner, the perfect Christmas gift. If you look at the way I wrap a gift and the way Amy wrapped a gift, you can easily identify who is much more skilled. But as you read the scriptures and you read through Matthew and Luke, you notice that Christmas was anything but perfect. That Jesus came in a very unperfect way to give to his creation a very undeserving gift. And so if you go to Facebook at Rock Prairie, you can actually invite people to this event for the next 4 weeks. And can I encourage you? We all know people who need Jesus. And we want to make it as inviting as it can be these next 4 weeks. Today we're talking about the gospel in the home. The gospel in the home. And so if you have your Bibles, you're in Proverbs chapter 3, and many of you don't even need to turn there, but we just want to take our brief time that we have remaining and talk about what am I aiming in. We dedicated the parents to raise their children in the ways of God. So what is my target? What kind of son, what kind of daughter do I want to raise? And the writer of Proverbs would say this in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that I want to raise a son or daughter that trusts in the Lord with all their heart. And they don't lean on their own understanding. In other words, they don't allow their feelings to overwhelm their faith. That in every aspect of their life, no matter what stage of life they're in, they would acknowledge God. That they would invite God into the situation. That they would seek God's wisdom in the decisions that they would make. And then at the end is an incredible promise that every single person here wants for our children, our grandchildren, that God would make their paths straight. You see, we don't control our paths. Did you know that? We have decisions to make, but ultimately the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And if he controls the king, God controls everything. He is sovereign, amen? And so I want to raise a son or a daughter that will trust God with all of their heart. And so as we introduce this, I want to ask an honest question again on baby dedication. It is probably the most ironic question to ask, but I want to ask it. We're going to find out actually which Christians here today are honest, okay? How many of you have ever temporarily or momentarily lost your child? Anybody here ever temporarily or momentarily lost your child? Would you hold your hand up? Okay? Do not pick them to babysit your kids, all right? Okay, I can proudly say that I have never, ever once lost David or Michael. However, I remember the most sickening feeling and the worst phone call I've ever made in life. Prior to being a pastor here, I was a youth minister at University Heights Baptist Church. And one of the things we like to do is go on mission trips. And so Amy and I had a good friend named Phil Zielinski that lived in Schaumburg, Illinois. And so we took 16 of our finest teenagers up to Schaumburg, Illinois to help with Vacation Bible School. Well, of course, we're Baptists, so we want to mix business with pleasure. So we wanted to have a good time. So this particular day, we were taking a joyous excursion to Chicago and walk the Miracle Mile. Has anyone ever walked the Miracle Mile? And you know on a Saturday afternoon how congested the Miracle Mile could be. So our first stop after we parked, and it took forever to park in Chicago. We got parked and we went to FAO Schwartz. Anybody in here ever been to FAO Schwartz? And so we went, and I'm a big kid. We played with all the toys. And then we were going to take our track from FAO Schwartz all the way down to Giordano's Chicago style pizza. Anybody ever eaten Giordano's? You're still digesting it, aren't you? All right. It's just humongous. There's no gluten-free or anything. It's just as unhealthy as you can get. And so with these 16 teenagers, and again, responsible teenagers, what I decided to do, because I knew my kids pretty well, that we wanted you to buddy up. We wanted you to have a partner. Anybody here watch Toy Story? Remember when they're moving? Everyone gets a moving buddy. And so everyone had their moving buddy. So we played around in FAO Schwartz, went down to Giordano's, again, Chicago Saturday. The wait was just forever. and we got in there, and so it's about 2.5 hours later, and we're wrapping up our dinner at Giordano's, and so we had our buddies join hands and hold their hands up. Well, guess what? We took 16 teenagers, and I looked down the table, and for whatever reason, it seemed like there was a chair at the end of the table that was kind of empty a lot. But again, they go to the bathroom a lot. They're teenagers. And so I said, buddies, hold your hand up. And there was one guy in particular, Grant Garthwaite, who's now the worship leader at the church that I came from. His buddy was Josh Kunkel. Josh was 6'4", 250 pounds. Guess who we lost in downtown Chicago? The 6'4", 250-pound student. And I said, Grant, where is Josh? 16-year-old boy, sorry, I don't know. Grant, was Josh here when we ate? I don't think so. Josh, where did you, Grant, where, that's why we lost him. I didn't know their names. But anyways, Grant, where did you last see Josh? Because I know he got off the van. He says, oh, I think at that toy store, Toys R Us. No, it was FAO Schwartz, all right? But what I told them is if we should, God forbid, ever get separated, I want you to stay exactly where you're at when you were last with the group. And there was this incredible, sickening feeling that came over me. And we lost a kid. And I'll never forget, as we were in the parking lot, his mom's name was Jane, and we had them sign the waivers. And I will remember this till forever. And she looked at me half joking, and you know what she said? She said, whatever you do, don't lose my baby. And again, we laugh now. It was anything but humorous then. And I remember picking up a phone and calling Jane and saying the worst words I've ever said. We lost your son. How long has he been gone? Well, at this point, 3 or 4 hours. And just this panic. And then I said, hey, you remember what we told Josh? That whenever you get separated, we want to go back to the last place we were at, and we'll come and find you. And thank the Lord. As we walked up, Josh was just kind of sitting on the ground next to a guy playing a violin with his case open and people throwing money in it, all right? Okay? And he looks as relaxed as he could be. And I mean, I'm crying. And I said, Josh, are you okay? He said, yeah. I said, well, what have you been doing? He said, I've been sitting here. I'm like, why? He says, because you said, if we ever got separated, you stay where you're at. And we'll come and find you. For those of you that have temporarily lost your children, you know the incredible panic that comes over you. But I just want to charge us today in a few minutes that we have that just as important and critical for you knowing where your children are at and that they're safe is God charges you to know exactly where you're spiritually, your kids are at and what direction they're living in. And listen, we all get busy. We all have invitations and obligations and things to go to. And any person in here that would say, hey, you know, Josh is a 16-year-old kid. He's 250 pounds. He'll find his way in Chicago. He'll be fine. I would be fired. It's kind of ironic that a year after that trip, I became the senior pastor at Rock Prairie. I don't know if they're connected at all or anything like that, but I just find that incredibly ironic. You would say that's the most irresponsible thing you could ever do, someone entrusted to your care, that you wouldn't turn the world over to find them. And yet we find ourselves a bit in a crisis, that we have become so consumed with life as parents, and we totally understand our responsibility for their safety and their well-being and how they're doing in their education. But I would venture to say that we have been a little delegative. That's not even a word, but I made it up, all right? We have delegated our responsibility when it comes to spiritually leading our children. I think there's three viewpoints when it comes to parents in raising our kids. Number one, some believe that having a relationship with God really is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. And I know this, that you would not be here if you thought that way. But let me say this, nothing could be further from the truth. Some believe that having a relationship with God is good, that, you know what, I want to have God in my life, and I want it to be kind of a balanced thing. I want him to get a good education, and God is a great asset to have in their world. Obviously, we want our son or daughter to go to heaven, and God is good, but there's a balance there. And I think, honestly, that's where a majority of Christians would find themselves, just by action. But the third, I believe, is the most biblical, and that is this, is that God is not a means to success. That God is not the thing that trampolines us into having a good life, but God is the good life. That Matthew would put it this way, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, success in life is loving God. And then everything else that happens emanates out of that. And if this is our goal, that's what these four families dedicated themselves to. Do you understand how intentional and how preoccupied you as a parent must be to help shape the heart and soul of a child so God does matter? God is so much more than being a part of my life, that God is actually central to my life. So in the next few minutes, what I want to do is I just want to give you three questions. I want to put some tools in our toolbox so that we can be the best parents in God's eyes that help shape our young men and women to be the Christians that God has called them to be. So first question, here we go. Number one, what does God want them to become? I get a little caught up, especially in the teenage years, of what I want them to do. So when I talk to my kids, I'll talk about their occupation. I'll talk about who they'll marry. I'll talk about responsibility. All very, very, very important. But God says, really, even more important than that is who I want them to be. And so Jesus has asked a phenomenal question. It's a question given by an adult that says, you know what, if you could take Christianity and you can capture it almost on Twitter, what would it be? It would be this. I want you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, I want your life to be not just a part of God's plan. God's not a side hustle, but God is central to everything you do. He's central to your being. And I think it's easy as a parent, I've been there, done that, where we almost confuse our children because we are so passionate about what they do, and God, who they want them to become, seems kind of lower on the totem pole. So what is it? What does it look like to foster and nurture and love a child so that they have a heart that is consumed passionately with Jesus? I think I want them to trust in the Lord. You see, I want my sons who have grown up in church, who have lived in church, who their dad does church professionally, I don't want them just to have the right answers. I don't want them just to know what to say or how to act or how to dress or where to be. Trust, hear me, is a heart issue. Trust, obedience I can control. Trust is an influence thing. I want them to get to the point where they rely and depend completely on God when everything else seems to be going haywire. I loved this quote. It says this, "We are not arbiters of our own fortune. God is. God is the one who sets the pace. God is the one who makes the way. God is the one who sovereignly calls the shots." And I want them to be so consumed with God that they trust God even when their feelings contradict what they know to be true about the Lord. And I'm responsible to somehow model that, to teach it, and to instill it in these fertile souls. It's not your job. It's not Jason and Alicia's job. They're here to come alongside and help and encourage and reinforce. But the primary job to teach Michael and David how to trust God, that's on me. And by the way, that's more important than me teaching you how to trust God. It's more important than my job or my bank account. It's my number one calling in life. Secondly, I want them to trust God with all of their heart. I don't want them to act one way at school and one way at Element Student Ministry. I want them to see that in their home, mom and dad, this Jesus thing is so real that when problems come, it's not panic, but it's prayer. That it's so real that, you know what, our schedule centers around church and faith and service and reading the Bible instead of vice versa, all the activities. And I want them to trust God with all their heart in such a way that when their feelings kind of walk up to the door of their faith and try to rattle it and try to shake it, that they will choose God and faith over feelings every single time. And the result is they're going to experience a life that all of us want for our sons and daughters, a life that is led and directed and almost like it's like a runway where the lights are just lit up and they can see what God wants. They can see God's purpose for their life and they can see and be excited and be passionate about Jesus. In other words, God is not just talking about an eternal destination, but God says, I want to be so involved, have such dialogue with my children that I know where they're at right now spiritually. Secondly, how do you do that? How do you do that? If you have your Bibles, Adam and his family read it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So if this is my responsibility, that sounds great. How do we do that? Deuteronomy 6, again, just to reiterate, says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words I command that they be on your heart today. And you will teach them diligently to your children. Do you see it? Here's how we know where they're at spiritually. Here's how we discover what direction they're heading. You talk about it. When do we talk about it? Right? You talk about it when you have dinner. How many of you eat? Okay? Good. Max, all excited. As a matter of fact, can you hurry this up so I can go eat now, right? Okay? How many of you ride in a car with your children? Okay? Hey, this is kind of creepy. How many have ever ridden in a car after your child gets their license? If that doesn't make you a prayer warrior, you know what I'm saying, right? Okay. In other words, God says, listen, he's talking to Israel and the context is, I'm going to take you into a land where your neighbors aren't going to love God. As a matter of fact, they're going to have wrong gods. And he understands that we are so easily influenced by the people we're around. And so before you're around them, here's what I want you to do every day. I want you to just talk about God. I want you to sing about God. I want you to be joyful about God. God is just everywhere in our house. It's like, oh, I can't get away from this God stuff. Because there's going to come a time when they're going to go into a land where they didn't have to work for the blessing that God has given them. And the natural propensity of our heart is to relax and think, look at what I did, and begin to look around and watch what the other neighbors are doing who don't love God. And God forbid, these children that belong to God can start living in ways of people who don't even think he matters. And that's why you do the work now. And I love what it's talking about. It's talking about having conversations with God. When is the last time you talked to your son or daughter about God? Admittedly, and again, part of this is admitting my failure, I thought my responsibility was to make sure my children are going to heaven. That's a huge responsibility, and it's part of it. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's a direction. God doesn't want us just to kind of stand there and say, hey, are you sure you're going to heaven? Are you sure you're going to heaven? That's important. But on a more practical basis, how is God impacting your life? Hey, what struggles are you having? So I'm going to give you a homework assignment. All right, here we go. And I want you to have a conversation with your children. The beauty of this, it doesn't matter what stage of life they're in. If you're an older parent and you have a son or daughter that's out of the home, you can have this conversation. It is your responsibility, just like it was mine, to watch Josh and make sure he's safe. But equally as important, it's your responsibility to know right now the spiritual status of your children. Whether they're in your home, hear me, or out. There's another powerful group of people here. Grandparents. Any grandparents here? Do you understand how influential you are? There are seasons in my life, we may still be in a season, where Amy and I will tell our kids stuff and they look at us like we're the absolute stupidest people on the planet. And then Meemaw and Bumpaw say it and they're like astrophysicists. Do you know what I'm saying? The same thing. Grandparents have so much pull. It's probably because you give them ice cream for breakfast, all right? We know what you do, Grandma and Grandpa. But this conversation can be had by a grandparent. We have an aunt and uncle in our life, Aunt Patty and Uncle Bob. They don't have children, but they're kind of the second set of parents to my kids. Anybody have an aunt and uncle like that? They're just amazing. You just love them. And I mean, they're cool and they're fun. And all the parents that say, no, you can't, they're like, absolutely, you know, I'll do it with you. You're here and you're an aunt and uncle. Do you know you can have this conversation with a niece or nephew? But God says, you are empowered. You are the one. You are most responsible to be the one that knows where they're at. So I got this idea from Jerry Markins' brother, Matt Markins. And I thought, you know what? When we're in our home, we're going at breakneck speed. Anybody else? And so we kind of get going so fast that I lose focus of my primary responsibility to shepherd my son's heart. So on Thursdays, and we do it, but it's we go over to school. Matt went to Starbucks, but anyways, I'm just not a Starbucks guy, all right? You got to say it like that. So we go to McDonald's, and we'll sit down, and we'll have these conversations and literally ask us questions. Hey, Michael, do you feel close to God right now? That's bigger than are you going to heaven. Michael, how do you feel like your relationship is with God right now? Here's a good one. What struggles are you having right now? It's amazing some of the responses when you're just away and having a conversation. Here's a good one. How is God helping you in your everyday life? It's a good question. Here's a good one. And this is loaded. If you could ask God anything, what would you ask? I think it was David, and again, these are not original. I got them from somewhere. And I asked David that question when he was younger, and here was his answer. Why did God make elephants with trunks? I mean, that's a theologically, I'm like, hey, go talk to your mama. You know what I'm saying, right? I can't. But when is the last time you had these questions so that you could discover where they're at with God and what direction they're heading? Thirdly, and we're done. Thirdly, and we're done. What can I do to help my child take the next steps? You are responsible to know whether your son or daughter has a relationship with Jesus. And don't assume, you can't delegate that out. It's interesting, when we found Josh, do you think I let Josh buddy around Grant? Oh no, 6'4" is on my hip. All the way. Why? Because there's too much at stake. These conversations, moms and dads, are what you should be having. You say, well, they're out of the home, it doesn't matter. No, 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 no. You never stop being a parent. When I'm around my mom, I'm little Kevy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Mom, stop it. It's embarrassing. She's like, oh, give me a hug. But anyways, all right? It's just moms, right? And the reason I want you to do this is because, and this is so important. Control is not the same as influence. Did you know that? That when my children are 3 and they don't want to go to bed, do you know what I can do? I can pick them up and I can drop them in the crib and turn the little thing on and, you know, the little thing where you hear them in your room when you're sleeping with your wife and you're like, I don't hear that, do you? But anyways, you know what I'm talking about, right? You do. I see all the dads kind of looking like that. But when they get 17, you can't control them. And I want to have influence on my kids when they're making the most important decisions in their life. And I have been at times that Christian parent that mistook control for influence. Because we can try to control our kids in such a way without having God conversations and making it a relationship more than rules, where when they get old enough and you can't control them, they don't want your influence anymore. And that is why God says you need to be having ongoing, intentional, regular conversations with your children to know exactly where they're at. And hey, how can I help? Man, I struggle with that too, Michael. How can I help you take the next step in faith. I end with this. It was amazing. I was driving around Tipton. I love driving around Tipton. And it was a beautiful summer day, and I saw a cross-country team running. I was at the stop sign, and they came running across. And I mean, they were trucking along. They were from Tipton, and I'm from Tri-Central, so I smiled at them. Then I rev the engine. No, I did not. No. All right. And as they were running across, I noticed something, that you had all these young students, guys and girls, but there was an older lady running with them. I thought, man, she's kind of old to be a student. And so I did some research. Actually, it was Stacy Hare. Stacy Hare is the cross-country coach. I thought, she gets it. That there's a big difference between control and influence. Because I think most Christian parents, using the cross-country analogy, stand at the finish line with the clipboard just to make sure they get to heaven. That's not parenting. Parenting is when I put my running shoes on and I say, let's go run together. And that's not just at church on Sundays. It's not just at youth group on Sunday night. It's not just at Awana on Wednesday night. It's every day of the week. Can I ask you to do something that's pretty brave? Maybe for some it's very out of the ordinary. For some, maybe this has already been going on. This week, no matter how old your son or daughter is, would you sit down and just say, you know, I love you with all of my heart, and God has entrusted me with an incredible responsibility. And that's to shepherd your heart. And I want you to be well and successful. I want you to be the best person you can be. I want you to have a family that's amazing. But more than anything else, I need to know, how are you and Jesus doing? For some, you've never had that conversation. Can I challenge you? It is the neatest, most funnest conversation you've ever had. And don't make it just a one-time thing, but say, hey, can we do lunch? Can we get together? Can we talk? And pretty soon what you'll find out is it's not just talking when you go to McDonald's. It's hey, you know, Dad, I got a problem. Can we pray about this? And all of a sudden, it becomes more natural. And all of a sudden, Deuteronomy 6 is happening, that when you go by the way, when you're in transition, when you're doing things, it's just neat to see. You know what the really blessing of this is when you see it. Pilgrim Cup is coming up. Did I mention Pilgrim Cup? It's coming up. Years ago, my son played for Tri-Central. And one of the neatest scenes I've ever seen, this was kind of you have a son. What's his name? Quentin. There we go. All right. And Abby and Christy and Kylie and Shelby. And there was a young man that went here, great man, Jake Dye. And Pilgrim Cup was over. And we had been talking about, David, how can you and your classmates make an impact for Jesus? I still have it on my phone. At the end of the game, and I'm not going to tell you the score of the game. Now, Tipton people, I don't appreciate that attitude, all right? But what was really neat, and Jason, you remember this, and it really in large part because of the parents and the influence of this couple, that those kids went out to the center of the court. How many of you remember that? They all held hands, and they prayed. That was not a youth pastor telling them to do that. That was not a preacher telling them to do that. That was them. They wanted to be salt and light. And you know what? To me, as great as him being a pastor down in Kentucky, and great as Quentin being a pastor, and Abby serving in Nashville, and all the students, and Shelby and Mitchell down there, that right there is why. That's what we all want, right? That's what we all hope for. But those things don't happen on accident. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I want to challenge you, would you please, 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 please consider this week, no matter how old or young your children are, and please do not assume, having a conversation, can I know where you're at in your faith? And not just that you're going to heaven, but how is it going? Do you feel close to Jesus? And as you have that conversation, talk about, hey, how can I help you? How can we work together so that both of us can grow in our faith? And watch, just watch what God does. Father, I want to thank you for a beautiful day. How special it was to watch those four families up there with, Father, their children, with their extended family. And Father, to witness them make a promise, a commitment, a vow. They understand clearly that they are the most influential person in their children's spiritual growth. Father, for all of us, I myself included, I don't want to get in the way of what you're doing in my son's lives. And Father, I don't want to be neglectful. I don't want to delegate that precious responsibility of shepherding my child. God, you've entrusted that to me. And God, I'm thankful that you even use our inconsistency. And God, you even, it's just what's amazing about grace. You use our failures to teach our children about God's amazing, powerful love. And so, Father, today I pray, I know parents in here want to, but Father, I pray that they will have the holy courage through the Holy Spirit this week to set up a time to have this conversation with their kids, whether they live in their home or, Father, whether they're out. And God, just that this would be an ongoing thing. And that, God, you would begin to just show fruit of the faithful nurturing and development. Because, God, we want to have influence on our children when they make the most important decisions in their life. And more than anything else, we want them to love God with all their heart. So, God, help us. And, Father, I can't wait to hear the stories that are going to happen because of what has been said and sang and done today. So, Father, be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.